Hi guys, I'm Janica from Multispective, and I'm here with you with a new episode where I interview Joe Such, an individual with a very rare condition called the fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva, or in other words, the Stoneman syndrome, a very rare condition that affects only one in about 1 million people around the world. It is a condition where the muscle slowly and progressively turns into bone. So he's about 30 years old right now, and he has lost motion and movement in most of his body at this point and lives a very, very painful life and journey. He talks about it with such resilience, with such power, the ways that he's moved on, the way he copes. Again, this is a disease that has no cure as well. So having to come to terms with the fact that you're slowly losing parts of your body and not really able to do anything about it has been a very, very difficult journey. So we delve really deep into this condition. We talk about how it happens, what triggers it, what caused it for him, and all of the things that, you know, you may want to know about it. And I think it's a really inspirational story as well in the way that he has come out mentally very strong and how he's found strength in the face of adversity. So he's also a podcaster. He's doing a lot within his life, and I'm really, really excited to have him on air. So enjoy the episode. Hey, Joe. So lovely to have you on my podcast. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. I think you've got such a fascinating story. I found you on Reddit. I think you made a really interesting post that got quite a lot of hits, and it somehow appeared on my newsfeed, and I just could not stop reading. I was like, Joe, wow, what a story. This is something I've never, ever heard of before. I never thought that this is even something that, you know, humans experience. So I think this would be really interesting that to sort of feature your story on our podcast. So yeah, can't wait for this. How are you feeling today?
I'm great. I don't know what we're in, totally different time zone. It's at 9 p.m. So at the end of the night for me. But yeah, it's been a great day for me. I wasn't dreading this interview, but like I was always in the back of my mind, I have an interview at 9 p.m. usually. Now yeah. I'm just watching Netflix or something, you know? So like, it's a different Friday night for me.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I'll try to make it as fun as Netflix can ever make it for you. Just remember that whatever you're saying today is going to be leaving a huge impact on people. And so, you know.
Nah.
So Joe, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, where in the world are you as well?
So I'm in New York City, so everyone knows where that is. So I don't have to put that on a map or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm New York City. I'm 30, almost 31 years old right now. So I'm really old now. Like, we'd be looking for nursing home soon. So that'll be a fun weekend to do. Yeah, I guess, should we dive in?
Yeah, but like, I want to know a little bit about your childhood. Like, were you born and raised in New York?
Yeah, I was born and raised and die here because that's where my parents are, and I have to live with them. So obviously, I'm gonna go wherever they go. So
yeah. You still live with your parents, and do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have to because I'm too disabled to live on my own anywhere. So I have to. I rely on people to take care of me, basically. Mm-hmm. To the day I die, unfortunately.
Right. How was that for you, like, processing that, understanding that? I mean, I guess, you know, you must have been fairly young when you sort of came to understand that this is sort of going to be the trajectory of your...
I mean, I was actually independent till like, I was age, like, 21-ish or so. So, like, I never thought I'd be bound to my parents just based on my disease be okay, but then my disease obviously progressed to a point where I need care kind of, you know, 95% of my life, and super unfortunate, but that's something I don't have a choice over. It's either live with my parents or just, like, I guess, die on the street because I can't take care of myself, you know. I have a feeding tube in my stomach, so I can't even feed myself, so, like, I would just die from thirst over. I think you cannot have water for like 2 days or so, and then like you die. So, you know, so I need to be surrounded by someone that knows how to take care of me, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough. Tell us about this. What is this that you're living with?
So I have a rare disease called FOP where my muscles is basically turned into bone. So I was just born being able to move all my limbs normally and such. And then just year after year, my body just starts to freeze into place. And, you know, like when I was able to walk for miles and slowly walk short distances, and like now I can't walk at all. You know, I can move my arms however I wanted. I lost movement of that. I'm just losing basically 95% of my body's movement, and that's really it. Like, there's nothing a doctor could do to help you with the pain or anything. I can't get surgery because my body would just repair itself with more bones, so I'm just kind of stuck the way my body wants me to be in. No matter how severe it is, that's just the way my body's gonna be, and I just have to accept it.
So once again, your muscles turn into stone?
Into bones.
Bones.
Yeah.
I just need a minute to like process this.
I'll give you 20 minutes. I had all my life to process this. So take all the time you need.
I think it's weird. I think it's very different reading it versus hearing it and seeing it. I think it's just like trying to understand how does this work? Do you know the science behind this? Like, have the doctors been able to explain how?
I mean, there is a faulty DNA and faulty gene in my DNA that's gone haywire. That's just, you know, it's beyond my pay grade, basically. But there's something wrong with my DNA that's just like repairing itself with bones all over the place, and like, and nothing, you know, my body thinks it's doing a good job, but it's really not. And it's just impacting my entire existence. And it affects, you know, everyone around me too. And yeah, it's just not, you know, like it's the only disease in the world where one body part turns into another. And like it's like somebody would read kind of in like a horror book or something. But like, fortunately, I had to have it and experience it. Yeah, it doesn't seem real when you do read it on a piece of paper. You know, even though I have the disease, I see other people and read it, and it's like, I don't know, like, doesn't hit me. It hits me like, wow, this disease is amazing, but like, I don't know, is it different when you're in it to experience it? It's like, I don't know, it's like a mind fuck all the time. Like, it shouldn't exist at all, but here we are.
Right. Talk to me about like the communities that you have found of people that also have this. Have you found a community of people? Are there people out there that, I mean, there is a term for them.
I mean, there's a big community of people that do have it. I just don't really put myself in there because I'm just a unique person, or I just don't get along with them as well as I want to, just personality-wise. Like me, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what your disease is. Like, either you're going to get along with people or not, just because you have the same disease does not mean that you're going to be friends at all. You know, like, women have the same ailments, but doesn't mean they all like each other.
Yeah. I would say, like, more than that, it would be more just to sort of see if there are other people out there that experience it and what they do to sort of cope and how they manage it and, you know, how they've come to understand it and, you know, just a sense of, like, belonging maybe that people find in knowing there's others that are also out there that experience it.
Nah, I don't care about any of that. Just because you have a disease, same as mine, that makes no difference to me.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you're not going to talk about your disease. You're going to talk about, like, you know, sports or TV shows or anything else. So, like, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter at all. It's more like personality than would we get along with such. And I just don't get along with a lot of people, unfortunately. And I can help for them. Like, I don't really need help in that regard. Like, I'm a very intelligent person. If I need, I'll just solve an issue that I have. I don't know. I've just been very resourceful in terms of that. But I mean, others have found it very useful, and I totally get it. But for my sake, it doesn't matter. There's other people in this similar situation where, like, so what? We have the same disease, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, we just don't get along as people, and like, I'm not gonna force a relationship just because we have the same disability. It's not a great way to do.
Yeah. Can you tell me about like your childhood? Was this already starting to be apparent in your childhood, or did it only really occur later on in your life where your muscles started turning into?
So like around the age of 8, I lost my arms and such. So it was apparent that I couldn't move my arms so much anymore, and my shoulders, you know, and then during puberty, my spine got frozen. So instead of growing tall, I developed severe scoliosis, and that was really painful, you know. And then in college, you know, my second semester of college, one of my hips went, so I lost. So going for miles, from walking miles to I can barely, you know, walk short distances, and I had trouble sitting and stuff, and I had to use a wheelchair somewhat. And then around the age of 25, my other hip went, so like I lost the ability to sit kind of anywhere at the point. I can't walk anymore, so I'm relying on a wheelchair all the time to get around. And I mean, I had other flares throughout the years, but they're very minor compared to like the big thing, like losing your arm movement. That's a big life-altering event. Not being able to walk is a huge life-altering event that you don't even know how to react to it. Like there's no way to prepare for it too. And like the other thing is the unpredictability of the disease. Like there are people that couldn't walk since the age of like 10 years old, and there are people that could walk to their 30s. This is so unpredictable that you kind of want to prepare for the worst, but you also don't want to know what is the worst. Like you just want to live what you have now. And then also, like going back to the question of finding others, you already have your own problems and shit. So you don't want to experience other people's problem, because like yours is already a lot to handle. And I don't like it. People will like express like all their problems and like get them, and that's why like it affects me, and like I don't want to hear it because like I can't do anything about it, and it sucks. And that like I would rather worry about myself and my problem, because that's what I can do. I can't solve yours. And I understand like friends are like, oh, they have problems, that's just invent and such, but sometimes you just have to accept your situation and move on. Like I'm more of a complainer to get something fixed. But like if you can't fix it, there's no point of complaining. But I also don't want to minimize people that it is really a hard thing to accept, like, oh, you can't walk anymore. Like how do you react? One, how do you react as that person? And then two, if you're the opposite end of the friend being told that you can't walk anymore, like what? There's nothing you can say to help support that person. At the end of the day, mental health is really your arena that you have to fight alone. Like sure, friends and family can help you to an extent, but at the end of the day, you have to accept the way your new life will be, and no one else can really help you. Support does help a long way, but like at the end of the day, you have to fight your own demons alone.
Definitely. I just want to know a little bit more about this, and you know, for our listeners to also kind of like wrap their head around this a bit better. So it was a progressive thing. You started off with your muscles as normal, and it started slowly sort of turning into bones. How was it? Like each muscle, was it like an overnight thing, or did it slowly transition, and how did it feel?
So I guess these things called flares would be swellings all over my body. So, well, the thing is the swelling is so severe that let's say you can move your elbow as much as you want, the swelling is so severe that it will just lock your elbow into place already. So you already can't move it anymore. And then the bones grow within the swelling, and then the swelling eventually goes away, and then the bone stays there, and then the bone is the one that locks the body into place. So it's basically like you're waking up in the morning just hurting and like, oh, I can't move this limb anymore. Like, that's it. Like, there's no turning back to it. You just have to just keep moving forward.
Wow. And you must be so hyper aware of each and every muscle in your body and every bone in your body because of it, sort of knowing I've got these many bones or muscles left.
I mean, I don't feel anything. I mean, you feel the process of the bone growing as it's going, but afterward, you don't feel anything. Like, obviously, I feel it if I want to flex, if I want to extend my elbow, but, like, you don't really feel it. Still just feel like your body self. Like, you don't feel you extending your elbow at all. Like, you don't feel anything. It just feels regular, I guess.
So, Joe, can you just tell me about, like, how frequent does this happen? Is it like on random, or are there certain things that trigger it? Or would you just like wake up one day and be like, I feel like this is going to happen today and I'm going to lose a limb?
They said you're not to get one of the triggers is getting hurt, but the problem with that getting hurt is that not accurate though. So like if you took two people with my disease like, and throw them down the stairs, you know, like on the first time you might get, you know, a flare, you know, but the second person might not get a flare till like the seventh time they fall down the stairs. Very unpredictable. So like it doesn't even make sense. Most of like 99% of my flares has been just totally random. They don't know what the trigger is at all. Mm. So, but like when you do get a flare, you always think back like last week. Like, did you do something to, like, trigger it anyway? Like, most of the time you didn't. Like, there are times where, like, I thought I had a flare. I did something. I'd be like, oh, I'm definitely getting a flare, but nothing happened. But it's very, like, it's unpredictable. So, like, I think that's what makes the disease where it's, like, you can't prevent it from happening. Like, no matter what happened, even if you're, like, living in a bubble, like, you're going to get flares. You know, and around like the age of 30, you probably lose like 95% of your body's movement, no matter if you're protected to the maximum or not protected at all. But that being said, you want to have some protection, but like if you're doing sports and stuff, you're putting yourself more in harm's way, and the chance of you being more, I guess, disabled will, your disease will progress faster. Mm-hmm. So you want to be more on the safer side, but like being too safe is a very complicated issue among the community because you know, there are people that protect you all the time, like no contact at all or anything, but like anywhere like just self helmets and stuff. And I get it, but at the same time, not letting them be kids, like so like some will like no bicycles at all because, you know, like if they fall, like they'll get a flare and a bone grows. But like sometimes you want to let them be kids too when they still can do it because like, you don't want to rob them of their childhood because of the disease, even though they will eventually lose it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a very hard thing. Like, do you protect them and have them a longer, you know, let's say, arm movement life, or let them be kids and do whatever they want and then let them live with the circumstances of, like, I don't know, their arm being locked into place and such, and let them enjoy what they can? Because, you know, when your body locked into play, there's a lot, the list of things that you want to do become much less. So like if you have the chance to do it, you might as well do it. Like it could be the same with like money. Like you have $10,000, do you want to save it for a rainy day, or do you want to spend it now when you're so young? And
what was that like for you when you were a kid? Like were your parents trying to protect you at all costs, or were they?
I'm just a very stubborn kid. I just kind of did whatever I wanted to. I didn't ever thought of myself as disabled, if that makes sense. Like I just kind of did whatever I wanted to do, given if I could do it with my limitation and such. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still potential. I didn't really do sports or anything like that. And I really wish I could because I would be a very sport and athletic person. Mm-hmm. Like I just love like working out. Like we'll love to wake up at 5 a.m. and just work out and, you know, watch what eat and be like, have a six pack and all that.
Is that something that
that's not happening?
You kind of like miss the most out of like this?
I mean, I never had that lifestyle at all. So like, I think I would miss, but just something I would
wish
love to do now because I feel like your body is controllable in terms of like you put in what you want to achieve. So like, I'm not saying I'm like I'm control freak, but like I have this body. I would want to look the best I could at this age and this age part of time. So I have very good discipline myself and like with food and working out. So like I would eat well and work out and have that good body because, you know, like I want to look good all the time. Like people eat food as a short term happiness. And I don't think it's worth it because if you're fat, you're not happy with yourself at all. And if you're not happy, you eat more food to help and it doesn't work out. But if people that are look better are happier to an extent, I know there are people that do work out and they're not happy at all either. But I'd rather be unhappy and still look good than just be unhappy and look ugly. So, but it's also like, it's also a thing of like, the only person that can work out is you. The only person that can eat well is you. Like you're in charge of that. You know, if you don't want to work out and you don't want to eat well, you're going to get fat. You're in control of that. I do understand that, you know, not everyone can become like, I don't think I would ever become like Arnold Schwarzenegger and be really big like that, but I can be in shape and, you know, have a six pack or try and stuff, like run a marathon or something like that. Like something that's pretty achievable to me. I think it's just that it's your up to you how you want to tackle it. Like you wake up at 5 a.m. and work out before work or after work. Like I'm willing to make the sacrifices of like, oh, instead of hanging out with friends, I'm going to go and work out and do it. Like, I'm sure, I know there are probably people that work out all the time and they abandon your friend. I get that. But like I have a discipline of like what I want as my goals and then like, people will follow whatever they do. I try to do that now, but I'm much more limited, but like working out would be a huge thing for me. And I think a lot more people should work out, but I do get on that. A lot of people don't like to work out and such, but I don't know, I just love working out.
The thing is, I think it's just, it's very easy to take it for granted when you have a fully functioning body and mind, because you don't notice all the little parts, the little moving parts within our body, and acknowledge and appreciate that, hey, look, everything is working for you to be your best, right? In that very moment, you're just thinking about, how do I get through the day? Or maybe a lot of people, I know I am a lot of the times focused on the things that, you know, maybe are not the happiest of moments. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to bring my mentality back to like, hey, but look, I've got this going for me. Because again, it's just so naturally who I am. I wake up every day like this, right? But I think for a person who's, you know, experienced losing that, or maybe experiences on a day-to-day basis, losing that, yeah, you see the world in a very, very different light. And I think this is why it's really important to have guests like you on our show, just to kind of like shed light on like, you know, what are the variety of different things that, you know, are out there, and kind of like look inwards and just for a moment, just be grateful, like not to take anything for granted.
Yeah. I mean, it's always easy to like talk about stuff without like any actual results of it. I'm a very polarizing disability advocate, I guess. What's that? Like, I'm very realistic of like the way this idea is and stuff. And I feel a lot of disability people are very they're not in a real reality of things, and it really bothers me of things. So like, you know, like people be like, oh, I would work out all the time and such. And like, and you know, I want to have like a great body. And it's like, you can't have a great body. You just got to put the discipline in because you don't want to. And I feel like if you want to achieve great things, you have to put effort into whatever you want to do. Like, you can't, like there'll be regular people that are fat and like they don't work out and such. And like, and then they'll blame like everything else but themselves. And like, I know people that have been in a wheelchair that have been fat and they lost the weight, and like, you know, they can barely move and they lost the weight. Like, what is a regular person like you?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. But I'm just a very like realistic person of what my goals are in terms of like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So like, if like I want to get a six pack, I'm going to get a six pack. I can't do it within my body, and I don't like that though, and which is really unfortunate, and have to accept that. But it's just, I don't know, it's just like I can personally go work out and do that. I think that's what it comes to, like kind of in a selfish way.
So let's go back to like, because I'm sure our guests are right now like itching to know a little bit more about this. And we'll definitely come back to the things that, you know, you've done or maybe desired to do, because I think that's something I would love to know as well a bit more about. But can you just tell me on a day-to-day basis, like pain, would you say that you live with a lot of pain, or do you say when you experience a swelling or an inflammation, that's when you experience pain? The rest of the days, it's not the crux or the bane of your existence.
So like on a regular basis, I'm like a 3 out of 10 pain, and I'm just like, deal with it. Like I'm not on any pain medication. I haven't been on in the past. Like I've actually never been on pain medication at all. Like during the worst flares or the hip flares, and that lasts about like a year. So like a year and a half. And like on a 10 scale, it's like a 12 scale. And it's just really painful. And I went to a pain doctor and he didn't want to prescribe me anything or deal with me. So I was stuck dealing with the pain for a year and a half. So that was really painful. So
why?
I don't know if it's wanna, my body.
What was the reason for not wanting?
Because I'm a very like unique case and such. And like sometimes when you're just a patient, that's just too much for a person to handle. They just don't want to deal with you. So they'll just say, I can't help you and move on and such. Like they don't want to learn about you. They just rather, you know, just deal with regular people. And that's just, unfortunately, this is a normal occurrence in the disability community. So like when you find a doctor that really want to listen to you and actually understand you, then you should definitely keep them. But it's a total normal occurrence. Just, you know, kind of like dating in a way too. Like, you know, I'm sure you met people and we're like, oh, they like you. And then they get to know you and they're like, oh, I don't want
too much
this
baggage.
You know?
What doctor would you go and see? Would you go and see one specializing in bones or in muscles? Or
oh, no, I just see a regular doctor. There's nothing really a doctor can do. I still have like regular problems like, you know, ingrown toenail and like skin eczema and stuff.
Yeah.
So they go to regular doctors for that. There's really nothing. I mean, it's a unique case of like getting x-rays of like, how the hell do you get an x-ray with like, you know, 40 extra bones and such. So it's like always a complex case. And there's no like guidebook about of any kind to do, you know, like you kind of have to like just wing it in a way, you know, like if I break the wrist, you just have to like kind of just stick to the normal protocol and maybe change things around if you have to.
Right.
But like any situation, they're just kind of like winging it at that moment of like, how the hell do we tackle this issue and such? Because there's no, we're so rare that like there's no, I'm the first person to do kind of any of these things. So,
yeah.
The doctor would do kind of what the best they can do. They just have to guess like how the best way to help you and such. But yeah, just, I don't know if my body is just like, I used to the pain so much that it just psychologically just eliminated the pain, that I'm not in that much pain. I don't know. Like, I know people that are on pain medication every single day, and like, it's really hard. And not even my disease, but like the disability, like some people are in a lot of pain. So I don't know if I'm just not in pain, I'm in pain, my body is just ignoring it, or am I just lucky? I honestly don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's a high tolerance thing either. It's generally up in the air kind of answer. So like, but yeah, I haven't been on pain medication. I mean, I also don't, not that I don't trust medication, but I don't, it, what sucks about medicine that it has a good thing, but I always had like the side effects of it. And I kind of feel like in my life, I will always have to take heavy medication of some kind. So if I can limit my medication use in some way, I'll definitely do that. So, like, I did not been on any medication for the past 10 years.
So, how many bones would you say you have at this point?
I mean, I don't, there's no number to it. Like, it's just growing. Like, I have, like, web of bones everywhere. So, I don't know. I don't really know. They, like, kind of all connect all the way. So, it's really hard to say because bone is now, like, you know, like, when you have, like, a paintbrush and you, like, splat it against, like a
canvas,
like a wall or something.
Yeah.
You know how it like splatters?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how it is when my body is just like splatter of bone everywhere. Like some, you know, there'll be some places where like a solid sheet bones, and then there'll be places where there's like a bunch of web and such. So like, I don't really know how much, like, once a player is starting, like, you don't have any idea. It just takes one bone to lock that body into place. So it really doesn't matter how much, how many it grows. It's just like, just that one little kind of lock the whole elbow or hip or knee or ankle, and then you're just stuck.
Yeah.
And screwed.
Are there like, are there parts like of your body that started freezing up that you really did not know or understand or expect until it happened? When it happened, you were like, I did not even know that this was a muscle or an area that I could move that I can't anymore.
I mean, I knew like my body will, all of it will be affected. So I really had, it just like when you go from the ability to walk, and run for miles to like not be able to walk at all, it was a very dark moment for me, because like it's really no one's fault of how it, why it happened, but like you want to blame someone or something about it, because like no person should be in a situation where they're not able to not walk anymore. Like, it's just a horrifying experience. And then like I feel like it might be a little bit different, like let's say I had a car crash and then like I can't walk anymore, but like I have to like visually watch me walk to not walk at all, and watch my body destroy itself. And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing a doctor could do. Nothing my parents could do. There's no one in the world can do anything. So I have to literally just watch my body hurt itself. And there's nothing I can do to stop it. I just have to embrace it and move on as hard as it is.
And what have you been doing to cope with this, especially the hardest part?
There's nothing to really to do. It's, there's a lot of just getting to the pain of it and then assess your situation and just trying to move on with it. I don't, like a big thing is grieving. Like I'll never get over it. Like I have dreams walking and running, and it's like, you know, I don't want to wake up. Like I can't. It's not a great life to really live. Like no one deserves to just not be able to walk anymore. Watch their life just fall apart in that capacity.
Yeah, you're right. It's like almost every day waking up and you're like grieving all over again, grieving the loss of some.
Yeah, because I can't fix it. I can't get any surgery to fix it. So it's kind of like to the, you know, break the glass to like save yourself, and like can't break the glass. You know, there's not like, I like control. So like whether it's nothing I can control, I can't control my diet. I mean, I can control my diet, but it's not going to affect anything the way my body's going to do. Now I can't go to the gym and help myself. It's just literally the way it is, and I have to accept it no matter how hard it is for myself. Like there's no, I don't have an alternative. There's no, you know, it'd be great to be like, oh, just make $200,000 and like hang a surgery. Like at least it's like a goal, but like there's no goal here. There's just like, you got to live with what you got, and like, I might be like this to the day I die, and there's no turning back. Like, and when you're younger, you're always like, oh, there'll be a cure and treatment. So it's like, oh, I think I gotta get through this rough patch. But like, after a while, just reality just sets in, and you're just like, I just have to deal with it. And like, there's not.
At what point did that sort of like occur to you? At what point did that reality sort of like hit you that there's absolutely nothing?
Like, after like 3 to 6 months, like you just like this very out of body experience, we just have to accept it, and it's like a piece that I guess comes with it, just accepting of it. And you know, like I don't know, it's just, maybe they're dumb that we just keep pushing through everything. Like it could be like burning and like all our limbs are cut off and everything, and we just keep pushing on. Oddly enough, so it seems like human spirit and like to bring it just dumb of to keep moving forward, and it's like just did it not a good life to live for anyone. And you know, like it upsets me, like they're, my disease or distrusting into people that have my disease and they have kids and they pass their gene to that kid. I'm just like, why are you making not only your life worse, but now you're making another generation life worse too. And like, how selfish can you be to do that?
So it is a genetic thing then. It can be passed down.
Yes.
Right.
Well, it is passed down, but the thing that's not in my family tree at all. So I'm the first one, but I can pass it down to my future kids. I have a 50% chance. So I won't have kids because I don't think it's fair for any child to have my disease at all. Like, you know, it kind of happened with the disability community too, where like people will pass their genes down. Like, you have such shitty genes. Like, why? Stop being so selfish to have kids and such. Like,
but at the stage of that embryo, the embryonic stage, is it possible at that point to change the DNA wiring so that the, you know?
I don't know if it's possible to change, but like, I feel like if your life is hard and you can't take care of yourself and you need people around you, like, don't have kids, because at the point of a parent, like, you're supposed to take care of the child, not have a family take care of it. Because now you just want this. You just want the good quality of having a kid where everyone else is just caring for the kid. Is like that's bullshit to all the other parents that have to raise their kid. You know, like, sure, the privilege that you have a family to do it, but like, that's not a parent at all. And like, there could be times where, like, as a parent, you also want to, like, go to their track meeting and say, like, you're helping behind. Like, you're not going to be a good parent to yourself, and it's shitty on everyone else to take care of your problem. Like, don't be selfish. Don't pass your DNA on people. Just, like, you know, not, we don't have, just because you can have kids doesn't mean you should have kids. Like, you really shouldn't. Like, think of, like, you want your kids to be in a better situation. And even let's say you had a good experience, that doesn't mean the next person will. Like, life is really rough for a lot of people. And like, people are dumb, and it really annoys me. Annoys the hell out of me. The disability people don't like the way I talk about the disability community of the, it just, it really annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, it sounds like it really does kind of like anger you.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like, why, you know, like, why you want to hurt a child? Like, you want them in good health and stuff. Like, life is really rough. Like, maybe all the disability stories you hear, like the hardship they face, you know, a lot of it's alone, like mental health, all that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to put that on a child? Like, it's not fair. And then also, that child is going to blame you for passing their DNA onto you. Feel like, for me, I can't blame anyone for my disease. It is a random occurrence. But like, if my parents had it and they gave it to me, I'd be like, why did you have me? Like, why don't you birth the regular person that gives a better chance of it?
Right.
Not just,
that's like, that's a fair point.
You want to give them a better chance of survival.
No, that's really, really interesting. I'm curious, though, just like following up from what we said before, that it being passed down by generation, I always thought that this was like a DNA mutation. So it's one of those things that, you know, it's a one-off rare case, as opposed to it being, can be like genetic, can be passed down by generation. So it's interesting to me to hear that this is something that, you know, a person that may be having this, it, you carry it in your genes and it, you know, can be passed down by generation. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have kids, so I'm not really worried about passing it to anyone. Like, no one wants this anyway, so I'm good to go. I mean, I don't know to pick up my disability at this point, but I don't like kids either. I think they're a drain on anyone. Like, I don't think there's anything enjoyable about them, so like, I'm happy to not have kids at all. So, win-win situation for me.
Talk to me about, like, joints, because, like, when muscles turn into bones, does it also come with joints, or is it just like hard bone?
It just grows wherever it wants to grow. Joints, anywhere. I can just, like, have.
Because joints also help with movement in a sense, right?
Yeah, so it can go there, but it's also, a muscle is also controls movement too. So, like, you know, like, if you thought, like, I have bone grown in my calf muscle, but the calf muscle, control, like, you can lift it up and push it down and then left and right. If you have bones grow in your calf muscle, you lose that movement. Okay, you need your full muscle to actually
move your
ankles.
Right.
So it's all connected. So like, bones anywhere is full of this will be destructive to any body part, really.
Hmm. What are some of the internal muscles that have turned into bone for you that you are like are aware of? You mentioned that you're not able to sort of eat. So is it the muscle in your throat that has, how does that work?
Actually, I can't swallow because for some reason my muscle that controls my swallowing doesn't work. And the problem I really have is that I actually cannot get surgery to fix my swallowing, so I cannot swallow again. Like if you have my swallowing issue, and a lot of older people get my swallowing issue, and they can get surgery and be good to go, I just can't get surgery, so I actually cannot swallow because of that. It's not really related to my disease at all, which is, I know it's ironic in a way that, but it's just a kind of a cause thing of can't get a surgery because of my disease, but my disease, well, there's really no direct correlation of my disease causing my body to just start to lose the ability to swallow. But because of my disease, I cannot fix the issue. So I have to have a tube in my stomach, and that's how I get all my nutrition for the past 8 years now, 7 years.
Right. Yeah. That's really interesting. The heart is a muscle.
The disease doesn't affect smooth muscles, so like the tongue, it won't be affected. Any of your organs will be completely fine. With that being said, the surrounding parts can be affected, so like if you have scoliosis, that will really shift all your organs to different places. You know, like if you have bone around your heart, it can like limit to my lungs is on like 20% capacity because the ribs is caged in bone, so like can't expand with it. So my lungs are just, they're there. They can't work at all because it's being crushed by my whole body.
Right. Talking about being crushed, I would imagine like, you know, a lot of your nerves and other things that, you know, your veins, I don't know, other parts of the body that are necessary also being sort of like pushed and crushed because of the bones, right?
Yeah, that's nerve pain is really the biggest pain of it all because the bones are never really like smooth. They're always like a little pointy or they're in areas where it pushed that shouldn't be there. So I really have a lot of bones in my neck and that hurts a lot with some nerve pain. But you also have like a lot of nerves in your hips and that hurts a lot too. And you have to deal with the nerve pain of what it is. So like a lot of pain in my ribs all the time and my hips go the way the body is just shifted in a very unnatural situation. Like, you know, like I'll be a chiropractor's wet dream of to crack my body and put itself into place because the human body is not supposed to be in a place that it should be in at all. Like it should be nice and straight and like, you know, when you're in bed, like you should be like, you can't be curved. Like your body just starts to hurt. Like that's been my body for the past, you know, 3 decades now and there's nothing I can do about it. My body just has to accept it, even though it's the most unnatural thing for the body to do, to be in.
Right. How many bones have you like broken in the process?
I've broken like a couple over time, but like it's just doesn't do anything because it's still there. So it's just like another day, I guess, of normalcy. But once the bone is in the muscle, there's not much you can do to fix it. So like sometimes you'll break like little bones here and there, like itty bitty bones, but it doesn't. You just hear like a crack sometimes or something. It's just weird. You can feel it, but it's not a normal sensation of it, but you know, like it's kind of like, it's like, oh, that's unique, but like there's nothing to really bond over about it. You know, like, I don't know, it's like you get a paper cut, like you, oh, like, oh, paper cut, and you just move on with your life, you know. I know I'm making it sound like it's not a big deal. I know it's a big deal in a grand scheme of things, but it's really like not at the same time. It's like, oh, cool, like, it's like, what's your favorite color? Blue. Oh, okay, cool. Like, what are you going to do with that information? Nothing.
Joe, can you walk me through like a typical day for you? Like waking up in the morning, what do you do in a day?
I'm trying to like have my mom or caregiver like feed me in the morning, and I go to the bathroom, I get dressed, and then I'll like sit in my chair and be at my computer. Like, I do a lot of computer work, so I'm blessed to have the capacity to be on my computer and work and, you know, do the video editing and talk to you, of course, you know, talk to other people. But yeah, I'm blessed that I'm able to be on my computer and work and do stuff that get linked to the internet, so I have kind of the world at my hand. With that being said, it does suck that I don't have the physical capacity to go out in the world and stuff. Because I would definitely be a world traveler. I know before the podcast, we were talking about like, oh, people would travel to like India and then all these great countries. I don't know if I would necessarily travel world traveling, but I live in New York City and I would love to travel in a city to like cool spots and unique situations and all that, and meet interesting people and just not be limited by anybody but myself. Like, if I want to wake up at 4 a.m. and go to Times Square, and like, I could do that. I can't do that now, but like, you know, like, all you just need is a train pass and you can go wherever you want. Like, there's really no limit to where you want to go. But of course, I have so many limitations, I can't do that. So it just sucks at the potential of what I could do if in a different alternate universe, but fortunately, that's the way my life is.
What about in terms of like career, like work? Are you a full-time podcaster? Do you have you ever worked in a company?
No, I mean, I get paid to do it, but I get paid like pennies for it. So it's like slavery, I guess, at this point to YouTube. But yeah, I'm a technical engineer. Basically, I did send emails for a women's charity that I do. And then I do YouTube on the side. Like, I don't think I make that much money. Like, you have to have like 1 million subscribers to make a decent amount of money. Yeah. I would never doing it for the money per se, but like, I do want the fame and potentially the fortune that comes with it. So it's been hustling to work in this niche of disability and just to see where I go, because that, you know, like the alternative is not doing YouTube and just, you know, just being at home and stuff and not meeting people at all or anything like that. And then like, if I want to become rich and famous, I have to do something. And my best child would, you know, I love to video edit video and talk to people. Like, that's my strong suit, and I'm funny and charismatic. So I'm going to use that to good use. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I've been working pretty well. From a view counter, on a money counter, not really, but it's more about the views for me, so I can flex on people about it.
What about dating life? How's that been? What's that like?
I don't have a dating life. It's a non-existent.
Yeah. Is that something you kind of like wish you could have more of? Or is that something that
I mean, who wants to be single? I mean, well, I'd rather be single than dating someone that's wrong for me. But just people don't think of me as an attractive person. Like, sure, I'm cute looking. Like as a whole package thing, like, disability comes with a lot of baggage, and people are just not into that, and I can't really blame people for that. I mean, I also have a unique personality that I can get along with a lot of people, but it's not necessarily that someone I would want to date either. So I kind of feel like I'm in a horrible catch-22. Like, people might think I'm attractive physically, but I don't get attractive to them personality-wise, so they're never a good match. And, you know, the people that I like personality-wise are not attractive to me physically, and it's like, you can't blame them for anything. So, like, I'm just in this awful situation. Like, can't do anything. But at the end of the day, I think it's my disability that's the biggest deterrent of why I can't get the one, I guess.
Fair enough. Yeah. And what about having a social life? How often do you go out with friends, or do you go for networking events to meet?
Well, I don't really have friends either, so I may go out with my caregiver and such, and I'll go out around the city. Like, I do like exploring, so I do explore with my caregiver. That's something I definitely want to do. I love to do it with other people, but, like, you know, people are busy with their lives, and they just don't want to spend time with me, and I can't wait on people. So if I want to do something, I'm just going to do it for me, because you live with yourself for the rest of your life entirely, so I'm going to enjoy the thing that people want to join me. Awesome. If they don't and they want to do something else, and I'm just going to let them go because we have one life to live and they can't keep waiting for people. I can do whatever I want to do, and people like me for that, and they're going to join me on that. And if they want to get off in the next exit, that's fine by me too. You know, I can't help that. I can't be anchored by someone. I have to.
Fair enough.
Do me, and I hope people like me for me.
Yeah. When it comes down to sort of planning for, you know, your future and, like, you know, going forward, what are some sort of like plans that you've got for yourself?
I don't really have any plans. I'm just going to keep living the way I am and see what happens in the future. You know, parents could live another 20 years and I'll be with them for 20 years. I don't know. We're just kind of taking it day by day, year by year. I mean, hopefully everything will be consistent about it, but I don't really have any plans per se of what to do. Only there's no.
Are you close to your siblings?
I mean, she lives 3,000 miles away, so that's not an option. So, I mean, we're just going to take it as they come. Everything seems to be, sorry, I keep moving. Everything just seems to be consistently fine right now, so we're just going to keep it open. And if something happens in the future, then we'll talk about it when the time arrives.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Really interesting. Just a few more questions. Can you tell me, I know you mentioned earlier, like, one of the things that you wish you could do more of is like exercise and like work on your fitness and, like, you know, work on shaping and toning yourself. Is there anything else that you felt kind of like you wished you had a chance to do that you've never really been able to, like, do? Like certain activities, sports, maybe traveling, you know, certain life-related things.
Skydiving would be very cool to do. I'd love to do that. Rock climbing is something I would love to do. Oddly enough, improv I would definitely do. Because I know there's a lot of, you know, voice and stuff, but it's also a physical thing too that I would definitely get into. I mean, I do it kind of with just talking, but there's something about the physical that I also love cooking a lot too. So my ability to swallow, that was hard in itself to just not eat food anymore, but also lose the ability to, like, move my body around, so I couldn't cook anymore. So that was really hard on me too. Like, if I was able to move, I would still cook, just not eat anything, which would be a really weird thing to do. But yeah, cooking is a big one. You know, there's just so much food out there. Like, you can cook it a wholly different, very different meal every single day for the rest of your life and never have the same meal twice. I mean, that's really it off the top of my head. I mean, there's a lot of physical things that I would love to do, but I mean, it's like little thing, nothing big. Not like I want to, like, climb Mount Kilimanjaro, however you say that mountain, you know, nothing like that. Yeah, like, I don't know, just regular things, you know. It'd be nice to be reliant on myself and just leave the house when I want to and don't have to worry about anything at all. And that'd be really cool to do. But fortunately, that's just the way my life is. And I can't, I mean, you can dwell on it and such, but, like, it really doesn't help. You just have to, like, do what you can do within yourself. And that's a hard pill to swallow, but I accept it. I have to move on.
Do you reckon, like, that was, like, the biggest thing for you, like, having to come to terms to just, like, be okay with it or accept it and just be one with it? Do you think that was, like, the thing that...
I mean, you have to, otherwise you could be stuck in the past or not moving at all. And, like,
you know, I've had a lot of guests in the past that I've spoken to who've, you know, been through some kind of trauma or, you know, experienced some kind of injustice to them, who've said, you know, they've lived in that sort of victim mentality for a really long time. They lived feeling guilty or anger or, you know, resentment towards people for a very, very long time. It took a lot of therapy and work to sort of, like, come to terms with it. And so that's sort of, like, what I mean, where I sort of want to delve a little bit deeper. So, like, I mean, I can still sense there is still a sense of sadness, maybe, but at the same time, you've also come to terms with, like, it is what it is. You know, that's how it is. And I'm okay with it.
I mean, you have to, otherwise it's never going to move anywhere. Like, the kind of the big thing, like, you go to therapy, like, you can talk about it all you want. And, like, there's two, like, a therapist is two situation they are, they can either hold you or they can push you, and like, you know, they're the time where you want to be held and stuff. That's why they got to push. Like, I interviewed a therapist and she said that, you know, like, people are waiting for like the perfect moment, but like, what if the best moment is now, but you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm like, I'm not going to keep waiting. I'm going to do whatever I want to do now, because that it can be going to happen. My life is going to get worse in the future. I don't know how, but it's going to get worse. And there's nothing I can do about it. So like, the best situation is now. I mean, you can kind of, I guess, for a regular person, could be like, age, like, you're the youngest now. You're the healthiest now. You should want to do everything now. Like, I mean, with some caveats, like, you shouldn't just blow $10,000 on a trip because, like, you want to do it now. Like, maybe split it among a couple of years. But like, yeah, this is the best. Most of our lives, it could be the best time of our, the best time in our life. I mean, sure, there are people that may be working really hard and making a living and such, but like, this, for me, it would be the best time of my life at this point. Like, I'm not going to walk again, and I know my life can get worse, so it gets slow downhill, so it would be the best for me, and I have to embrace it, because if I'm too focused on my path, you know, and then my life gets worse, and like, I spend all the time on my path, not doing anything now, and it's like, you just fall into a deeper depression. So it's either accept it and move on, because otherwise you're just going to be stuck in this rubble for your entire life. And that's not a good way to go.
How would you say, like, this physical disability of yours defines you, or is a very strong part of your identity? Or are you kind of like able to look at it as like a two separate thing? I'm me, I'm beyond this, and this is just something that I have.
I'm just Joe Sage with a disability. Like, I don't put the two together. Some people do. A lot of disabled people will put a disability as their whole identity, and I don't think so. I try to not have it as my identity. Like, I'm the, you know, I'm a video editor and all that. Like, I don't introduce myself. Like, I'm Joe Seuss, I'm disabled. Like, you don't, no one, like, you don't introduce yourself like, hi, I'm a woman. Like, you don't say yourself. Like, it clearly that I'm disabled. So, like, but like, it doesn't really, it does affect situations of like, maybe stuff that should we do that we do together. But I bring myself, what I know. So, like, I video edit it and stuff. So, I feel like I bring that to the table. So, like, if I'm talking to someone like you, like, we will discuss about like video editing and podcasting and stuff. You know, like, we're not talking about, like, you're not disabled, so obviously we want to talk about that, but, you know, we talk about other things that will mutually bring us together. Like, you know, like, when I'm not, if you were disabled, I want to come to you if you're disabled. I'm more attractive to your podcasting or your video editing, stuff like that, like, common interests of it.
Okay, Joe. So, very last question. I don't want to take too much of your time. So, can you just tell me sort of like something that you've taken away? You know, you've mentioned a lot of different things in this episode. I feel like, you know, you talk so much about living in the present, and you're like that classic, that perfect example of someone who's really living in the moment, living in the present, and just trying to make do with whatever life is thrown at you. But one sort of message you would like to get away to our listeners today?
Do whatever you want to do, like, just stop putting limits on yourself. Stop making excuses for it. Like, if you want to do something, just go and achieve it. Like, if people don't support you, like, so what? Like, you're going to live in other people's shadows, or you're going to live for yourself. So, you know, but also make sacrifices if you need to, if you want to achieve something. Like, if you want to work out, but like, you have to sacrifice something else. So, like, you have to sacrifice, like, hanging out less with your friends or family. You have to juggle it together and like this. Do whatever you want to do. Like, you want to post naked for the internet, go for it. Like, no one can stop you. Like, there's a lot of things in your mind stopping you, but nothing's stopping you from anything. No one's stopping you from making that Instagram post. No one's stopping you from making videos. You can talk about anything you want. You have a lot of power that you just don't realize. Like, just go hard on it. Like, this is it. I don't know what you're waiting for. Just do it.
I love it. No, I love that. And there's so much like Yeah, power in what you're saying as well, I think, because, you know, yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, listeners, amazing, amazing episode. I've learned so much from this. You know, I know like to just be grateful, you know, every single day. And yeah, thanks for doing what you do every day. And like, you know, even with your podcast, you know, just spreading messages all day, every day. It's so empowering. So yeah, thank you. If you enjoyed the episode and would like to help support the show, please follow and subscribe. You can rate and review your feedback on any of our platforms listed in the description. I'd like to recognize our guests who are vulnerable and open to share their life experiences with us. Thank you for showing us we're human. Also, a thank you to our team who worked so hard behind the scenes to make it happen.
Chris Trzynski, Stefan Menzel.
The show would be nothing without you. I'm Jenica, host and writer of the show, and you're listening to Multispective.